305, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Thursday Eve, and man, it is toasty. It's 92 degrees. Tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, apparently some thunderstorms rolling in. Lots of stuff we'll be chatting about. Did you see the senator from California who tried to crash DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's press conference? Alex Padilla is he's your typical left-wing hack. He's kind of Peter principled his way up into a Senate seat in California. So he showed up at Secretary Noem's press conference, acting a fool, and he was removed. I mean, that is fundamentally the whole story. He showed up, nothing of value to say, simply trying his best to attack Secretary Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem did not miss a beat, and her DHS folks didn't miss a beat. They grabbed Padilla, got him out, removed him. He was detained. Now, why they didn't arrest him, I don't know. I don't know. Kristi Noem, by the way, said, and I quote, that the Department of Homeland Security is staying here to liberate this city from the socialist and burdensome leadership that this governor and this mayor have placed on this country and what they have tried to insert into this city. She's telling the truth. Gavin Newsom, who, well, he got owned yesterday, didn't he? When he said, well, I never got a... Trump didn't even call me. Donald Trump, President of the United States, said, actually, here's some screenshots of the phone. And maybe Gavin Newsom doesn't remember, but it was 1:23 when we had a 16-minute call. Huh, 1:23 in the morning. Newsom said, Alex Padilla is one of the most decent people I know, which says more about Newsom. Because Newsom doesn't associate with decent people. So the guy might very well be one of the most decent people he knows. It's outrageous, dictatorial, and shameful. Trump and his shock troops are out of control. This must end now. Well, Mr. Governor, do your freaking job. Seriously, do your job, and then this sort of stuff would not have to happen. This morning, Sheriff Antoinette Irving from the city of Richmond hopped on Richmond's Morning News. Now, I took a look at a number of the comments on the text line. A number of people said, oh, this was crazy. It was far too long. She really filibustered Rich. She didn't let him ask any questions. And, well, I'm going to leave it to you. You simply go to WRVA.com. And you take a listen to what transpired this morning. Was it long? It was. It was 27 minutes long. That's a long, long time. The sheriff, I think, did what she always does. And that's to, spin a tale. Sometimes she's good at it. Sometimes not quite as good. But do we or do we not, Germ? Do we have both her and Bill Burnett with us on Monday? Excellent. We've been trying for how long to get her back on the air, Jeremy? Do you even know? Because it predates your arrival. You've been here 2 years. So it's 2 years that she or her staff or whomever it is that's responsible over there apparently has not been interested. But now, yeah, she showed up. Oh, yeah, before you showed up 2 years ago was the last time she was here. Yeah, and that was a one-off. She was here. She got hit with some facts. Sense was she didn't like them and has never deigned to return. But all right, Monday, get a load of this, gang. We will have the sheriff and Bill Burnett on this very program the day before the election. How about that? How about that? Well, I don't know if you heard the sheriff on this morning, and I am not going to make you listen to 27 minutes on this program. I would urge you to listen to it, though, by going to WRBA.com, download the podcast from this morning. But Jeremy had the duty to pull some bits and pieces. I did not pull the bits and pieces, and that's because this morning I was inside of a well-run professional jail, Pamunkey Regional Jail, teaching the final class of the Inside Out Dad program for this particular cohort. This is the second cohort we are graduating at Pamunkey. And today was the final day of class. Next week, we've got the graduation. And what we do is we stand down for a couple of weeks. We get the information back to the units, get the sign-up sheets there, and then we'll, get everything restarted, I guess, probably like the second week in July, somewhere around there. All right, so, Germ, let's just grab some of the small stuff here. You have sent me the list, and I'm just going to call for things. I cannot provide all of the context necessarily, but let's start with one that I would think everybody would agree with, cut number five.
Absolutely. One death is too many, and
right,
we don't want to have any death.
Okay. Well, listen, you got to give her that one. We all agree with that. One death is too many. What's going on at the Richmond City Jail, however, is an abomination in terms of the deaths. But I digress. All right. Let me see. A volunteer outreach. Boy, I don't know if you haven't heard this one. Cut number seven.
It's voluntary for them if they want to participate, but we make sure that we're in the community. We have a small outreach section that also goes out and do outreach during the week. But the majority of the thing that we do is we make sure that we're here in the facility to assist with the jobs and duties and responsibilities, and making sure that the area is safe and that we can do our counts and do our security checks and make sure that we are providing all the services and the programs that the individuals need inside of this facility, whether it's on a weekend or alternative sentencing time, or whether it's doing a regular day, someone that's doing a sentence.
Mm. Okay, well, you're not getting that job done, ma'am. And we all know you're not getting that job done. And all we have to do is once again go to the records that indicate the counts, as an example, not being done. That doesn't come from me. That comes from that whole jail accreditation board. What else did she reference? Trying to keep the place safe. Well, clearly that's not working because it is universally regarded in Central Virginia as the most dangerous jail we've got in the area. That's kind of sad, but all right. Well, I don't know. I'm just trying to look here, Germ. It's hang on a second. I'm just looking at him as you said. All right, contraband. Contraband's a big deal. Now, why is contraband a big deal? Because that is, in fact, how inmates of the Richmond City Jail are dying. Cut number three.
There's an issue with contraband in any institution. And what we do, as I stated before, we have body scanners. We have body scanners like TSA. We also partner with police departments, not just Richmond, but Richmond Chesterfield State Trooper, as well as Department of Correction, which we have their canine units to come in and assist us with searches, whether it's searches for staff or searches of inmates. So we're continuously working on what that looks like, making sure that we have scanners at our front door, that we have scanners that scan walls just in case something gets in. So we're continuously working on the security and safety in that measure to ensure that we can reduce or eliminate the amount of contraband that comes in. We've had individuals to fly drones to try to get stuff in, and we've had individuals to try to jump over the wall, and we have to increase our security measures to reduce the probability of them getting things into the facility.
Interesting. Interesting. Every facility has problems. Well, that's not untrue, but not every facility has the problems that this sheriff has. That's a problem. That's a problem. Well, we're occasionally bringing in the DOC canine to do sweeps. Okay. What your opponent has called for is an agency-specific canine unit, which you have the ability to set up if you had cared to do it any time in the last 8 years, to deal with the mechanism that contraband comes in with almost 100% of the time. Not 100% of the time, but close to 100% of the time. And that's with the staff. That is how contraband traditionally, overwhelmingly gets into any locked facility. All right, we have more of this. It's going to be very interesting. It's very interesting. I'm trying to figure out, which one of the issues were hit this morning. Some of them were. Did she talk about morale at any point? Let me see. I'm going. Oh, yeah, she does. All right, but that's a longer segment. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We've got time blocked out in the 5 o'clock hour for some of these longer segments. So in the 5 o'clock hour, we'll address what it is that the sheriff had to say about morale. Morale, just so you know, I don't know exactly what she said because I must have missed this part. Because, again, I was in a well-run jail this morning. But morale is essentially non-existent. I did like how she also talked about the prior administration. What she didn't note, and what I don't think Rich addressed, was the fact that the sheriff has always had this brand-new city jail. She can talk about Sheriff Woody. She doesn't like Sheriff Woody. That's fine. I don't really care about that. But it's not apples to oranges, you see. It's apples to automobiles. It's so far out of the range of comparison, you can't even pull it into a legitimate range of comparison. She has always had a state-of-the-art facility that was fundamentally brand new. And it was Sheriff Woody, just for the record, who spearheaded the effort to get that new facility in place. All right. Hey, lots of great stuff coming up. Our pal, the media equalizer, Brian Maloney, is going to be here at 3:35. I want to know what he's making of the media coverage of everything that's going on out in Los Angeles. As an example, it is 3:16, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 3:22, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. That's what I'm going to say. It is toasty. 92. We're popping up to 93. Well, there you go. That's just the way it's going to be. We got plenty of humidity, in case you had missed the humidity. A couple of patchy areas of haze, as I understand it, as well. That is going to blow out over the next couple of days. We're looking at thunderstorms for tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday and Monday. Oh, I have to give you a heads up. I will not be here tomorrow. I just feel compelled to give these notifications ahead of time because people get so concerned. Oh, my God, Jeff. You are not here. Not here. Are you okay? I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you. I will not be here tomorrow. That was all I wanted to share with you. All right. 804, as I take a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Let me see. John from New Kent says, Jeff, part of the reason it was so long this morning, Rich likes to run his mouth way too much. All right, I will pass that along to him. Jim from Prince George says, Jeff, it's quite interesting. The Democrats in California go all to pieces if someone runs a gas-powered weed whacker, but they don't hesitate to set automobiles on fire. Huh. Yeah. All right. Yeah. 804, Jeff, your show sucks. Thank you. I appreciate that. 804 then goes on to, this stuff I can't share. I just can't share. But suffice to say, it's interesting. Germ, do yourself a favor. No, because you're the only person that I can possibly share this with. So Jeremy, do me a favor, please. Go take a look at the text line. And see what 804 had to say.
President Trump incited an erection.
Well, no, apparently for 804, that's, yeah, it's difficult. Well, anyway, all right, so Brian Maloney is going to be with us at 3:35, the media equalizer. What does he make of the legacy news media coverage of the L.A. riots? 3:25, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:35, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. All sorts of great stuff going on. I can't tell you that the weather is necessarily perfect for everyone, but now sitting at 94 degrees, it is toasty. There's no other way to describe it, and the humidity is ticking up as well. Well, I mean, you know, what can I tell you? It's second week of June in Central Virginia, so is what it is. Brian Maloney, the media equalizer, joins us every Friday Eve. We talk a little bit about what's going on, some of the pure political things, but also the way that media, legacy news media in particular, is or is not covering these issues. And it's just always great to chat with Brian, and I appreciate you being here, my friend.
Your AC is working there in the studio.
Oh, yes. Yes, even I have conceded 94 is hot.
94. Oh,
yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It is what it is. What can I tell you? And
well, it beats being cold and rainy and wet and, you know, I'm sorry, but I'd rather, that's better.
Well, we've always got room for you down here in our beloved Commonwealth.
So, you bet.
We would welcome it. All right. We got so much we've got to address this week, Brian, including this brand new thing that you're doing. And I don't even want to try and describe it because you hit me up with this messenger thing. It's like, okay, I'm just going to ask you to talk about it. So you want to do it at the beginning or you want to save it till the end? You tell me.
Ah, well, which thing? Because I always have 20 things going on.
All right.
And
well,
my memory is just not what it used to be anymore. So,
all right. If that's the case, then start with the analysis of Los Angeles, and then we'll move into some other things. Tell me what you're seeing and hearing and what we should be seeing and hearing.
Yeah, well, I think that the way history has been rewritten, Jeff, is just unbelievable because they have essentially, the news media has erased from the history books the fact that George H.W. Bush, over 30 years ago, called in the military, right?
Right.
And, you know, and there was very little controversy.
Yes.
And we had those courageous Korean guys on the rooftops with, you know, that were aiming there. Well, those guys were, I wish we could bring them back. I don't know where they are now. Somebody should find him and interview him.
Yes.
I want to know what those guys are up to these days. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That was the spirit of America right there. It's like defending its turf, you know?
Exactly.
And now we've got this rewrite of history. It's this fascism. And look, he's calling in the military. And, you know, like, what's he supposed to? And then Gavin Newsom sitting there trying to thwart that. And then you have Rachel Maddow on MSNBC trying to encourage. She wants more riots. You know, there aren't enough riots for her.
That's
she
right.
wants more burning. They want more images of buildings burning and so they can call it a you know, fiery but peaceful protest.
Yes.
Like
yes.
CNN. Remember that?
Oh, they're still doing it. And it is. Let me ask you this, because your expertise in the world of media is without parallel. So shouldn't they have learned a lesson or two when you have Brian Steltler the other day sitting there, Mr. Potato Head, all in his glory, saying, well, you know, there's really not all that much going on. It's kind of boring and blah, blah, blah. And on my other screen, I have images, the live video. I'm not even going through a traditional network. I am looking at some guy with a cell phone who is standing down the street saying, here's what's going on. The nitwit on Channel 7 in Los Angeles going, well, just a bunch of people, you know, having fun watching cars burn. They have learned nothing, Brian, nothing.
No, they've learned nothing. And the way the news media portrays it, you know, remember the gradual deterioration of California. And I think that may be hard for Virginians and other Americans to understand because, you know, California, they have gradually just gone down and down and down and down. And you have these street takeovers that take place almost every night in cities like Oakland and in L.A. and other cities where, you know, you have these just gang-banging punks spinning their cars around in circles and hitting people sometimes. And, you know, the police don't even try to challenge them or stop it because of fear, you know, and you never get the support of Gavin Newsom or your corrupt mayor or whatever else. So they, you know, to them, this is just another step in the slow descent into, you know, where.
Yeah. It's happened in the space of what, two generations? Because we had in the 1960s into the 1970s, right? Ronald Reagan was governor of California.
It used to be an amazing state. Yeah. A beautiful state was ruined. It was absolutely destroyed, Jeff. You know, it used to be a great place to live, and now it's probably one of the worst states to live in the whole country by far. But absolutely by far.
One of the reasons that's becoming clearer to some of us, and I want to get your sense of this, Brian, one of the reasons that they are fighting so hard, whether it's Karen Bass or Alex Padilla or Gavin Newsom, to maintain their population of illegal aliens is that in terms of congressional seats, everyone is counted, citizen or not. So this bumps up their numbers. And
yeah.
The most conservative outlook, and this comes from a far left-wing organization, but it is the most conservative, says, without question, California is going to lose four congressional seats. That's a given, just because of the out-migration of people who have had enough. So they really are desperate to hang on to the illegal alien population, aren't they?
Well, and I think one of the worst things that happened with the rigging of the 2020 election was the fact that then the Democrats were able to come in and rig the census data, to then come in and rig the data in a way where a bunch of blue states hung on to congressional seats that they shouldn't have. There are a whole bunch of states where this happened. And we could go down a list, but that would be a side topic for another day. But bottom line is, you're absolutely right. They need millions of illegals. But, you know, I mean, I've lived out there. I've lived out west. And when I was in college, I was in the dorms with a bunch of kids from L.A. There were a bunch of rich kids from L.A. And I'd never been around kids like that before. And they all lived with hired help. They all lived with nannies and cooks and gardeners and drivers and, you know, all illegals. Wow. And, you know, there's a whole lifestyle in Southern California built around cheap under the table labor. And so these kids grew up, you know, none of them knew how to wash the laundry or wash a dish or, you know, it was a disaster living around them. And they were all really bratty too. I mean, I really didn't enjoy it. But the thing is, I did not understand the extent to which Southern California relies on illegals for their labor. I don't know if there's a parallel anywhere else in the U.S., maybe New York City, maybe one or two other places. But it is a whole culture there where you just have five or six staff for even houses that maybe aren't the biggest mansions at all. But maybe you're just upper middle class, but you have someone to do everything for you so you don't have to do it yourself. And they can't, they don't want to lose that, Jeff. They don't want to lose it.
I guess. You use the phrase, it must be nice, I guess. I don't know.
I've never known that kind of living. You know, I've never experienced it, but it is a whole. So that is why they're worried. You know, it's a bunch of mostly basically rich white Hollywood liberals who don't want to lose Juan and Jose and Maria and Guadalupe and whatever else. And, you know, and it's a sad thing. So that's what the fight is over. It's about protecting, you know, the rich. I mean, So you have these protesters out there, and I want to stop and ask them, is like, why do you want to protect rich Hollywood producers from having to pay Americans, you know, like, say, minimum wage for the labor around their states? Why is that important to you?
That's a great question.
Oh, they're paid by George Soros or whatever. So obviously this matters to, you know, or who knows who.
No, that's a great point. Now, let me ask you, because I'll remind everybody, we joke about it. I talk about my beloved Commonwealth, which is now Virginia, but there was a time my beloved Commonwealth was Massachusetts, and that's still yours. The Vineyard and Nantucket. I mean, those folks are in an absolute outrage that the same thing has happened, right? ICE has come in and removed the people who would ordinarily during the summer months be super serving the super rich out on the Vineyard and Nantucket.
Well, and that's what happened. So when Obama became president, those islands, Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, became discovered by, a lot of them are from LA, actually. A lot of them are the Hollywood set and the Silicon Valley set, who didn't even know about those places before Obama, and then just started buying up those houses and driving up the prices and, importing the illegal labor or bringing it in some whatever way they can. And all of a sudden, you've got these islands that are, you know, home to billionaires, and yet they're loaded to the gills with illegals.
Yep.
So it's a really, but again, hired help. You know, these guys are not going to cook their own meals. They're not going to do their own laundry. You know, they're not going to fuel up their own private jet. There's the guy at the airport for that. Okay, I'll give him that one. But, you know what I'm saying with this. You know, it's like private jets don't clean themselves, you know. And so it's a sick, sick thing. But this is about elitism. This is not about, whatever it is the left's trying to make the argument about. It's really, really about globalism as much as anything.
Absolutely.
It's the global elite.
I mean, this is Davos, just on all of, it's everywhere now.
Davos,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me about what seems to be one of your projects percolating, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say it, but I'm going to say it. Media EQ channel. What are we doing with that?
That's a chat room. Yeah.
Okay.
I just wasn't sure what you were referring to. We've got a chat room on our Media Equalizer page. I can't fit. So it's something that Facebook just started offering, and I can't figure out where the on switch is to let people chat and comment in there. So right now it's just us posting things in there, and then without people being. So I got to turn. I got to get a hold of somebody there and figure out how to turn the on switch so that everybody can start chatting. Because I would love to have your listeners there chatting. But, you know, you could still participate on our Media Equalizer page at any time on Facebook. Media Equalizer, one word.
Okay, and that's what I was going to say. So we need everybody to go over there, and while you are figuring out where the on button is, we will be on the regular Media Equalizer page on Facebook, eagerly awaiting the time that you push the right button, Mr. Maloney.
That's right, the button. I mean, if they made this stuff simple, I would have had to figure it out, but they make everything mindlessly complicated. Facebook is worse than a government agency. I mean, worse. And I don't say that lightly at all.
The
bureaucracy inside that company and these Silicon Valley guys, they put the government to shame.
And this is why they don't have time to do stuff around their own homes, Brian. They're busy complicating your social media life. You are the best, my friend.
Exactly. Google billionaires, you know? Yeah. Exactly.
That's crazy. I appreciate you being here, sir. That is Brian Maloney, the Media Equalizer. You're going to find him over on Facebook. Just look for Media Equalizer. And as soon as he figures out the button, Jeremy, do me a favor. Take some pity on Brian. Jump on that page, because I'll bet you will be able to figure out where that button is, and then it'll get even that much better. We got all sorts of great stuff coming up, including some snippets from this morning's interview from Richmond's Morning News with the sitting sheriff of the city of Richmond. Good stuff. Don't miss it. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:54, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. I am taking a look right now at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. And from RVA says, hey, Jeff, based on your advice, I listened to the full interview this morning with Sheriff Irving. She was spinning her word salad, but the one that jumped out to me during the morale portion was all about providing the deputies with T-shirts and socks. Please listen for that. I thought I would fall over laughing. Whew. Well, Jeremy has had the duty, as we are wont to say. Jeremy has had the duty. He has been forced to listen to every single second of the interview with Sheriff Irving. Jerm, I don't know if that jumped out to you, but I'm hoping that it did. Is that what she's really doing? She's giving them T-shirts to improve their morale? How about making it a safe place to work? How about somehow, some way, giving them opportunities? How about treating people properly? You know, that is one of the knocks. It is one of the knocks that you hear when you chat with people who used to be with the sheriff's office in the city of Richmond. About what a terrible, terrible, oppressive culture it is that she's created. It's difficult to get new deputies. It's difficult to keep the deputies that are in place. 804 says, Jeff, the sheriff sounded like a second-year social work candidate selling feel-good programs for all employees with courts in their address. An absolute joke. She is an absolute joke. All right. I just find it interesting that we will have her with us Monday afternoon. Oh, I'm looking forward to this. It's been years. She must, you know what? I don't want to speak for anybody, but my sense is that somebody there, probably on her staff, has said, hey, you're not doing well, and maybe you got to reach out and talk with some people you don't ordinarily like to talk with. Maybe. We'll see. 3:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.